And I want to change the culture of my thinking. Amen. By turning away from what's wrong, from looking at what's wrong, especially in this country. It is, man, I've been to five continents. I can't tell you how many people I preached to, hundreds of thousands of people. And I'll tell you what, I have seen things in other countries, like John has. I've seen things in other countries like, man, I'm glad I'm not living here. And my traveling mentality has always been this. Since the early 80s, it said, I can do anything for 2 weeks. I can eat anything. I can sleep anywhere. I can do anything anybody wants me to do for 2 weeks, but then I'm going home. And I always say the last night of a crusade or something in some jungle or something, when the last time I speak and I say, Lord, this is the first step I'm taking towards home. Yeah. And I've seen some things. So it's very easy to look at things that are wrong. Now, we just had a hurricane in Myrtle Beach. So what do we want to do? We want to ride around and look and see what's wrong. Oh, look at that tree. Man, look at that house. Oh, that's a car underwater. Yeah. So, you know, our mentality is to look at things that are wrong. We do that with people. Yeah. We look at people and we say, man, they are really odd. They're a little nuts. Man, I got a church full of nuts. Ain't none of them ain't right. And I'm the head nut. But we constantly have to remind ourselves not to focus on what's wrong, but what's right. And that's hard for us to do. But where it's really hard to do is yourself. Because you look at what's wrong and not what's right. And that messes you up. And the good news brings healing to that thought process in your life. So I want to change our culture of thinking. Now, yeah, I guess I can do this. I'll mess you up a little bit. God, I like making shock statements, so don't get too shocked. But God doesn't care about your sin. What? He doesn't. Your sin was dealt with on the cross. All of your sin. Every sin. Forwards, backwards. Now, do you still sin? Yeah. My sin. So how do I deal with that? Well, he's given us something called repentance. For first of all, repentance. And repentance is actually in Acts chapter 4, 19 says it brings times of refreshing. Do you know what that means? Second wind. Second wind. Second breath. He'll give you a second breath. Now, I can't take Jesus back to the cross and kill him again. That's right. One time for all times. That's it. Oh. So what does God do with my sin? How does he deal with it? We pray, Lord, take this from me. Take this sin from me. Take that. And he already has. So what does he deal with? He deals with your righteousness. You have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So if you are angry at your wife, God says, all right, I'm going to deal with that by increasing the righteousness of love. And it's going to deal with your anger. Yeah. Positive thinking now. Now, you take the gifts of the Spirit. If you're sad, and what's he going to deal with? He's going to deal with the righteousness of joy. He is going to increase the righteous attributes that came with his Son, Jesus Christ, who took up residence in your heart, who took away all of your sins, and righteousness is going to rise up in you, and it's going to displace the sin in your life. You can't beat anger with more anger. Righteousness is going to conquer sin, because it has. So that's something to think about. Now, so much time. Let's look at Isaiah 61, 3 and 4 again. Going back. To grant those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness. Now, I asked you before, what do you think the oil of gladness is? Now, I'm baiting you because I know. I've looked it up. I've even talked to Fawn about it. Yeah, that's something like that. But what it really is, the oil of gladness, it is the inner quality of your life. Not only the inner quality, it is the inner peace and happiness that is resonant in your heart, not your head. The inner peace and the quality of life within you. Instead of mourning, now the mantle of praise, instead of spirit of fainting, which is heartache, they will be called oaks of righteous planting of the Lord, that he may be glorified. They will rebuild the ancient ruins. They will raise up the former devastations. They will repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Now, to consider the oil of gladness, the inner quality of your life, which God pursued or is pursuing in order to bring about the mending we need, and what we need is a healthy heart. Why do we need a healthy heart? What does Scripture say about the heart? Out of the heart, what? For what? The issues of life. Man, I got issues. You all got issues. Issues are decisions. Stuff. The issues of life flow out of your heart. And you've got to deal with the issues of life that are flowing out of your heart. Now, years ago, Brother Found, in Bible college, he was speaking the word. I was in one of his classes, and he says, okay, your heart is full. Now, when I bump into your heart, what spills out? Yeah. Whatever issue is in there. Yeah. If I bump into you with a bad word, what spills out? I'm going to give you a bigger bad word. See, what? The issues of life flow out of the heart. And when life bumps you, and it will, what's going to flow out? So I need a healthy heart. I need a heart that has the right stuff in it. I need to purge the junk out of it. I almost swore right there. I want to get that stuff out. You know what I'm talking about. Now, notice what happens to the restored. They become rebuilders to the restored. Ancient ruins. Now, I want to tell you something about your heart. How many have heard of Caroline Leaf? Listen to Caroline Leaf. She's cool. She's like a crazed squirrel when she talks. I mean, it's like... and you can barely understand her. I mean, she's South African. She just speaks with a little bit of an accent, and she speaks so fast. She's a neurologist that studies the brain. And Mary and I have looked at a lot of her material this year at one time or another. And she talks about the areas of our brain that has negative thinking. And negative thinking in our life produces a tree, literally, it looks like a tree of cells, and they're black. And it comes into your brain, these negative thoughts come into your brain, and they form these black trees, negative thoughts. And what she said the good news is that you can get rid of them. You can heal them. That actually, good news heals bad news in your brain. And a thought will come in, and there's only two ways your brain receives information. One is through fear. All negative thoughts are fear-based. And the other is love. Love heals fear, conquers fear, heals bad thinking. Now, the other thing she talked about as a neurologist, she said, interesting enough, said the heart and the brain communicate, that the heart thinks. It has neutrons. It literally has places in the heart that are the same neurological connections as the brain has, it makes. In fact, there's like 200 million of them in your heart, billions in your brain. But your brain, interesting enough, doesn't need your brain. In fact, when you were conceived in your mother's womb, you had a heart before you had a brain. Didn't need the brain to operate. Your heart began to beat in your mother's womb before your brain was even created. In fact, you can take a heart out of a body. As long as you give it oxygen, it's going to beat. Heart, we call it a heart-lung machine. Do you know the heart has its own electrical system? Literally, it can light a 100-watt light bulb. It has its own, not only an electrical system, it has its own sense of gravity and a sense of where it is. It has its own electrical field, gravitational field within it. God really created this thing. Unbelievable. There are over 1,200 scriptures that relate to the heart. 1,200. And there's about 1,000 with listening of hearing God. Those two are probably two of the biggest things in Scripture. The heart and hearing. Your heart has the ability to make decisions. And it's now been medically proven that the heart thinks. That's crazy. And it's no wonder we say, tell people, well, I don't know what to do. Well, just listen to your heart. We've probably all said that to people. We don't even know why we're saying it. Now, where does God live in us? He chose this thing to live in and not the brain. I don't know. This is a fixer-upper. So he chose to live in your heart. In fact, Romans says that the heart needs to be circumcised or cut. There needs to be identification of belonging, the circumcision of the heart, where the heart now identifies itself with God. Now, the heart speaks to the brain, and the brain speaks to the heart. God speaks to the heart, and the heart has to hear God to heal the brain with good news. The good news comes to your heart. Listen for the good news. You know when it's good news. You know when it's right. Listen to that. And then speak to yourself. Let your ears hear what your mouth is saying. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Speak to your brain good news of what God is saying. This is the central message of our gospel. Really. That which looked destroyed has been brought back to life. We just read that in Isaiah. Brought back to life, your ability to love, joy, happiness begin to flourish around you. The hurt and criticalness which has taken root in you has now been uprooted out of your heart. You've heard it said, root of bitterness. Uprooted, and it's uprooted by the righteous good news of Christ. Taken out. And this is our central gospel message. This is what we need to be preaching. Now, when Jesus came into your life, when you were born again, when you accepted Christ, you came to a cross. Did you not? And on that cross, you had what realization? That all of your sins were put upon Christ and that cross. All of your sins. You had that realization. And you said to Jesus, I want that. I want you to do for me this thing. Take away my sins. I am now yours. Life goes on. We wear crosses. We have crosses. We love crosses. And the problem is, we want to go back and live in front of the cross. We don't live in front of the cross anymore. Amen. Now, I have nothing against you wearing crosses. That's a great symbol, but that's what it is. You've had a cross experience. You should have. Well, now you live on the other side of that. There you go. You live in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of righteousness. You can't go back and live where you came from. The cross was like a filter. When you stepped through the cross, man, it just scrubbed you clean. And you can't go back through it again. One time for all times. So you're living in a new arena of life. And this arena is the arena of righteousness. Sin, God calls you a saint. He doesn't call you a sinner. You're no longer sinners. You're saints. Well, another one of my pet peeves is the church canonizing people. It drives me crazy. Just nuts. Because it's so against what Christ does for us. It's like, in order for us, for you to be a saint, you've got to be special. You're already special. You already have done great things in His name. You've accepted His Son as Savior. There's nothing greater you could do. What are you going to do better than that?
That's true.
So you've been made whole and great and free and pure in every way. In fact, your heart has been transformed into the righteousness of God. But your brain hasn't caught up with all of what God has done. It will eventually, when you lose it. I read this verse, sang this song during this time of studying this. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from Thy presence, O Lord, and take not Thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. and renew a right spirit within me. We didn't sing anything about our head. Do you know when this psalm was written? When David wrote this psalm? Right after he got busted. Yeah, Keith Green and God collaborated. They worked on it together. So David gets caught messing with Bathsheba. Gets her husband killed. Brings him up to the front lines of the battlefield. Gets him killed. Nathan, the prophet, hears about this, the word of the Lord. He goes to David and just lays it out for him. David repents in sackcloth and ashes. And he already had a child with Bathsheba. Oddly enough, God took that child. But the next child, you know what the next child's name was? Solomon. Crazy, huh? What happened that God thought, okay, that's done with. All right, let's get on with things, David. We're good now. What happened to David? This psalm happened to David. He says to the Lord, be gracious unto me in the beginning of that Psalm 51. So what's he asking for? Grace. Be gracious unto me, O God. My prayer to the Lord a lot of times starts in the same way. Thank you, Lord. Be gracious unto me. Give me grace. And God's just, Daddy just smiles. Oh, I love giving grace. I'll give you some grace. Yeah, come on. I got lots of grace for you. And you receive that grace. And David cries, oh, God, I feel your grace now created in me. Take this black thing, this dark thing out of my heart. I did wrong. I did things I shouldn't have done. Now, can you give me a new... This heart is so bad. Can you give me a new heart? He said, I can do it, son. I can fix it. Fix it, Daddy. This prophetic word through David has been fulfilled in us today. This has been done. This is a done deal through the cross. The cross is no less significant to me. It's not insignificant in any way. But it's a reminder of what Christ did to my heart. He's given me a new heart. And now I just am asking the Lord, Lord, the residue of my life, the things that linger in my heart, create in me a clean heart. I want to have a healthy heart. I want to think well of other people. I want to make the right decisions. I want to be a better husband. Amen. I want to be a better pastor. Amen. I want to be a better person. I want to put my shopping cart back where it belongs. Even if it's raining. I want to do what's right. I don't want to park in the handicap spaces anymore. Even though there's way too many of them. Only kidding. I want to live right. I just want to live right. Is that so wrong? God says, no, that's all. That's good. I want you to live right as well. I want you to live good. Just in closing, 1 Peter 2:24 said he bore our sins in his body on the cross. Just to remind you. So that we might die to sin. And live to righteousness. For by his wounds, you were healed. Amen. And that wounding and that healing, I am the Lord your God, thy healer. I'm going to wound my son so that you may have wellness. Amen. Wellness in your heart. This is good news. Is this good news? This is all good news. Righteous gives us a healthy heart, a clean heart, a heart that is steadfast and trustworthy. Psalm 51, 1, just read it to you again, just so that it's fresh in your mind. Some of that psalm. Be gracious to me, O God. We'll just pause there for a minute, okay? Just close your eyes and just be gracious to me, O God. Let your grace flow to me. O God, you so want me to have grace today. You so want me to enjoy your grace. I want to drink it in. I want it to wash over me like a clean shower. And as the grace of heaven falls in this room today, it would fall on each and every individual to the measure that you would receive it, because you can have as much as you want. And Lord, I receive all that I am capable of receiving, and then you're going to throw a little extra in there. Be gracious to me according to your loving kindness. And man, your loving kindness towards me and my brothers and sisters is absolutely enormous. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. And I receive that work that you did on the cross, Lord. That my transgressions have been blotted out. Every one that I can think of and every one I can't think of. Every one I've ever committed and every one I ever will. You have blotted out. Wash me. Wash me. Wash me, David prayed, thoroughly. Cleanse me. Wash me. Meditate on those words, cleansing and washing. Amen. Thoroughly washed. When I was a little boy, my mama used to drop me off at Granny Bash's house. Her maiden name was McCrum. She was tough. And she'd let me go out and play next to the Passaic River near Paterson, New Jersey. And I'd go out and play in the park. And man, I would come back dirty. Granny Bash would put me in a tub. She'd strip me naked. And I was like, Granny, she didn't care. Strip me naked, put me in a tub, and she would wash me with oxygen soap. You know that brown stuff you do laundry with? That's what she'd wash me with. And you know what? The smell of that soap just didn't go away overnight. And my mother would come and pick me up, and I'd be sparkling. And you look good, son. Because my mother was a clean nut. Her maiden name was Van Dungeon. She was Dutch, and she was a cleaning fanatic. In fact, Mary thought I was the cleanest man in the world until after we got married. And she realized my mother was cleaning up after me. So she was crazy clean. So she'd pick me up, and she'd be all happy because little Albert was just shining. Well, God's got a fuller soap. That's what that is, fuller soap. And he will scrub your butt. He will scrub you and scrub you, and you will look so good and clean and white and shiny. Because every vestige of sin has been scrubbed out, every nook and cranny of your being has been scrubbed by the blood of the Lamb. You couldn't hide anything from him. He went into every closet. He went into every room. He looked under the rug of your life. You couldn't hide a sin anywhere. The blood of Christ was so thorough that it attacked every vestige, every thought, every issue related to unrighteousness and removed it. Amen. And replaced it with himself. Let's stand. I've given you enough today to mess with your heads a little bit. I often tell my church, what did you think? Because I'm afraid if I ask Mary, she'll tell me the truth. It's important, I think, when you walk away from a service, you take something with you. Take something with you. You know, don't come in here as a zombie and say, oh, I just did my duty. Gave my money, whatever. That you walk away with something. What are you walking away with? It's good for your ears to hear. What are you walking away with today? Good news. Okay. What kind of good news are you going away with today?
Good kind.
Good kind. Anything specific? Okay. It's gracious to you. Good news. That's good news. Creating me a clean heart. You see, it's important you think about this, that you take something with you. Well, I came up here with my little bag of words, and I threw them all over you, and they're all free. You take what you want. But take something. There must have been something here today you can take with you. So let's pray. Father God, I thank you for your grace and your good word. I thank you that you are the God, the mender. And you created healing by your own word. And Lord, your word, scripture says, I can hold you to your word. To remind you of your word. And I'm reminding you today that you are our healer. Yes. That you are our mender. And I ask you to release upon this congregation a wave of grace that's overabundant, that senses and knows the healing of the Lord Jesus Christ within us. In Jesus' name.